Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Grounded Roots with Sam Black. Sam is a certified psychic medium, wellness coach, and is the executive director of Grounded Roots Wellness Incorporated, and is your answer to finding wellness in every area of life.
Good morning. You're listening to Grounded Roots with Sam Black, and I'm your host, Sam Black. You know, it's so funny because this morning, I normally don't do radio shows at 9 a.m., but it's so worth it for this amazing guest that I have for you today. So I had to quickly go get a glass of water and my Rosie dog. So some of you have seen Rosie on some of my posts. She's Golden Retriever Lab. She's absolutely amazing. She wanted to play. So I'm trying to rush back into my office to get here, to be here with you. And I thought that I missed the intro. Thank goodness I didn't. So, you know, everything's just a lot of fun this morning. So I'm so happy to be here with all of you. And you're going to absolutely love today's amazing guest, Sandra Champlain. So Sandra is such a beautiful soul. I had the opportunity to meet her last summer. And she has been on a mission to show that we don't die. And so I'm so excited. Sandra, welcome. Welcome to Grounded Roots. I'm so excited to have you here this morning.
Hi, Sam. I'm so happy to be here with you and your listeners. This is great.
Oh, wonderful. So, Sandra, you have a podcast, We Don't Die, but you also have a book called We Don't Die.
Yes, I'm all about that title. My book is We Don't Die, A Skeptic's Discovery of Life After Death, that I published just 4 years ago.
I love it. I love it. And as I mentioned to you before, I totally love that you've named it A Skeptic's Guide. Because I know for me as a medium, people tease me, how can you be a skeptic and a medium at the same time? And I think sometimes that we actually need to be, because that's when we actually believe something, we truly understand and know that it's true. We don't question it.
Yeah, it's human to be skeptical. And I think it's all part of everybody's journey is to figure things out. And, you know, how you always hear the story of a kid reaching for the flame, but until they actually feel the heat, you know, they don't do it anymore. You know, so we need to learn, we're all on a personal journey. We have to learn these things for ourselves. And for me, being a skeptic, it's perfect that I think I wrote the book and that I have the podcast, because the way I talk to people and the way I research things is, you know, I listen to the voice in my head that says, you know, well, what about this? Couldn't it be this? And, you know, so I you can't help it. You know, and so many people say I ask the questions that they're thinking in their head, you know, because so much of it seems too good to be true. And a lot of times, you know, we're taught if things seem too good to be true, they probably are. But not in this case. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, life after death is real. And it seems like people say, well, how can you really believe? You know, and it's doing all the research I did over so many years. And now I've got 182 hours of these podcasts, talking to yourself and other like-minded people about the reality of the afterlife. And gosh, it's a whole new way of living life to know the reality of it. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And it's so cool. Anybody listening, you can actually find Sandra's podcast on podcasts, on YouTube. It's all over the place. Just Google We Don't Die. And it's in a very, very well done podcast with some amazingly incredible guests from all over the world. So I really recommend it, definitely. But Sandra, your journey hasn't just been since you published your book. You actually have been on this journey for quite a while now. How did this
make
sense for you?
Well, it was back in the 90s, mid-90s, that I developed a fear of dying, and I wasn't sick and no one had died in my close circle, you know, people in my life. And my mom has a great speculation that I had worked in nursing homes as a young woman and had seen a lot of death, and that maybe it just all surfaced in my subconscious mind. And that's all possible. But the fear of dying and not knowing if I go on was one of these things that represented itself in my mind. It's just a real true fear. I'd go to bed at night with these panic attacks, like, what happens if I don't wake up in the morning, you know? And it was so weird and uncomfortable that the only thing I knew to do instinctively was, let me try to find an answer to this, to get rid of this fear. So I was never going to tell anybody about it. You know, I used to think people that talked all this metaphysical life after death woo-woo stuff were a little bit out there. And, oh, Sam, you would have laughed, because I'd go into a bookstore and I'd see the New Age section. And I actually felt sorry for the people that were reading the books in that section, thinking, you know, folks, there's no proof of the afterlife. You know, psychic abilities aren't real. You know, you poor people are just reaching for straws. You know, just, you know, get grounded here. There's no proof of that stuff. So, I'm the last person that I would think would be telling this story. But, you know, I started my search, and I just privately, you know, like, somebody's got to have some proof of life after death. And I've got a chicken cock-a-doodle doing behind me, so sorry about that. You've got Rosie. I've got a chicken, neighbor's chicken. I'm not a chicken farmer at this point. But I studied major world religions, starting with, and I grew up Roman Catholics. I started with that, and I couldn't find any answers in the world of religion. Plenty of stories of faith, which were great, but faith alone did not quench this fear that I had. And then I started moving into the world of the paranormal, studying things, reincarnation stories, taking a course in mediumship, electronic voice phenomena, reading books galore, starting to go to people's seminars, watching and listening everything I could. And you know, very slowly, you know, these doors started opening.
That is incredible. And certainly a lot of doors have opened, because you've had some pretty interesting guests on your show that certainly have been on your path for a reason, for sure.
Yeah, there's no question to me. And if you don't mind me telling the first thing that happened to me, because you're a medium, so you'll get it. But I mean, it really opened the door. I had taken a weekend course with Doreen Virtue, and many people know her as the Angel Lady. And this was back in, I think, 2002. And I had seen her at the Omega Center, where I met you, in New York. And she had done medium reading angel medium presentation on, it was probably about 300 people that were in the audience. And I had gone there because I wanted, you know, there was part of me that thought, there's no way this is possible. But then I thought, you know, for that 1% chance that life after death is real, and that, you know, I could see somebody doing medium readings and really feel like it's authentic, you know, it was worth going. And very secretive. Like, my whole journey, you know, I was very secret. I mean, I was so afraid people would find out I was turning into one of these, you know, weirdo woo-woo New Agers, you know. I didn't tell anybody. And I witnessed her doing really beautiful medium readings on the audience. And I got it to my core that these people weren't planted in the audience. They weren't trying to sell anything. I mean, it was just really beautiful communication. And so Doreen offered a 3-day course in mediumship, flying to California and spending 3 days with her. Can you hear that chicken behind me, by the way?
I love it.
Oh my gosh. It's so funny. There's nothing I can do. Oh my gosh. I found out his name is Roberto. Roberto the rooster. Yeah. Anyways, he's back there. So funny. So anyways, I take a 3-day course in mediumship, and you know, and I went out there and I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing? You know, and there was only a handful of people in the group. And one of the things Doreen said at the very beginning, you know, is, if, you know, we hear this all the time, if you're drawn to this, it's for a reason, you know, all that. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm very skeptical. But she said, I want to show you how mediumship readings are done. And she says, we're not really going to do it. We're just going to simulate, you know, if we were a medium, what we'd be doing. And so I thought, okay, you know, because I know I'm no medium, of course. And so she had us each take a partner, and we sat in this conference center, you know, knee to knee with a person. And she says, I want you to hold hands. I want you to close your eyes. One of you go first. And she says, I just want you to, you know, she created this visual of like we're in this safe bubble of energy. And she says, you know, our loved ones are still around. And she says, you got to talk to them like real people. Introduce yourself. And just, you know, is there a message you want to give to the person sitting with you? And so she says, for this exercise, she says, I just want you to make up somebody. Just make up that there's a person standing behind them. And because, Sam, she gave us the opportunity to just play and make somebody up, I had no fear that I was actually trying to do a medium reading. And I didn't know this is what was happening. But I invented that standing behind my partner was a man. And I said, you know, I see a man and I'm feeling like it's your grandfather on your father's side. And he's got blonde hair and blue eyes and really windburned skin and gap between his front teeth. And, you know, and in my mind's eye, I invented him smoking a cigarette. And I thought, well, he's died of lung cancer. And I said, his name's Jan, fisherman in Denmark. Like this information's just flowing out of my imagination. And I said, and he never told your mom that he loved her. You know, he was just a tough dad. And he, you know, he wants you to say that, tell your mom that he loves her. So I opened my eyes just saying, okay, it's your turn. And I look at my partner, and there's just streams of tears going down her face. Her grandfather's name was Jan. He was a fisherman in Denmark. He died of lung cancer. The message was appropriate for the mother. And every detail that I had said was correct. And I mean, talk about blowing a door wide open. Because number one, you know, I've really been challenged that if there is such thing as mediumship, certainly I'm not one of them. You know, I'm not one of those gifted people. I'm just regular old me. But it was that first experience that I thought, oh my God. And then the lady that was working with me, I mean, she brought through my grandfather, knew his name, saw the German Shepherd that was always by his side, his dog Champa, and you know, some personal things about my grandfather. And I wasn't correct all weekend, but enough times that I knew I was on to something. And so that was the very first thing that suddenly this fear started going away. And then it's like, if this is possible, what else is possible? So that started
that story.
Yeah. But I still didn't tell anybody about it. You know, I can tell you when you're ready to hear it, what made me start sharing it. And I was around the death of my dad.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. My dear dad was diagnosed in January 2010 with cancer. He had my dad was very athletic. Even in his 70s, he bicycled 20 miles a day. I mean, he was a tough guy and loved the outdoors. And so he had a pain that developed in his back, and it ended up being cancer. And it was radiated, but it broke apart part of his spine. So he had to wear this turtle shell thing, and he had a pain pump installed in him. And it, you know, he went from being active and alive to very cripple, really. And even though they couldn't detect or see where the cancer was, they knew from blood tests it was still present in his body. And so this is now 2010, and then May 11th, 2010 was when he took his last breath. And over the course of the time prior to his death, obviously, you know, we as a family, my siblings and I, were very scared, and we loved him. And it's, you know, very painful to watch somebody we love die. And not only that, is you know, to see somebody suffer is pretty much the worst thing, because we couldn't do anything for him. And you know, people hear about fights that happen when people die, and fighting over the will and things like that. And I had a pretty close-knit relationship with my siblings, and you know, we had vowed that we were never going to turn into one of those crazy families. But Sam, we did. We started fighting about Dad's care prior to his death. There were fights after his death. Even now, 7 years after his death, there's two siblings that they haven't spoken with me. We're still estranged, I never saw it coming, you know, that something like that could happen. I mean, we were fighting about things that didn't even happen, And I thought, what is going on here? And I really thought there was this plot to finish off Sandra, you know, like I got called the greedy child and, you know, I was close to Dad because I wanted his money. I mean, the stupid stuff that wasn't even real. And so Dad passes away. I end up losing relationships with my siblings. You know, I say they're put on hold because I do think there's a bigger picture here going on. And so, you know, I'm not making them wrong or me wrong, but I actually think there's a master plan, and I can tell you why. But I hit an all-time low depression as a human being, not suicidal, but I could understand people that hit that dark a place, how they would think, you know, killing themselves was a good idea. And so I really developed compassion for people being in that state. But some, like a little light bulb went off in my mind. Like, I have never, ever, ever hurt this bad. I'm usually this happy-go-lucky person, very positive. And I thought, what is happening to me? And thankfully, it had me really study and go after some answers about what is grief? Why does it have to hurt so bad? Why would regular, great human beings turn, including myself, turn into these monsters with all this anger and fighting? You know, what is that all about? And when I dug deep enough, Sam, I actually found out, you know, there's things about the stages of dying and stages of grieving and like, okay, we've heard about all those things, but I actually found out that our brain chemistry changes when we grieve. And in the best way I can describe it is, if we love somebody, you know, we have, if you can imagine like somebody with an addiction, right? You know, you got to have the substance, got to have the substance. Well, in our brain chemistry, when we love someone, there's a poor word for it, but it's like an addiction. It's like we are locked in, with our neurotransmitters and all these things that we have, all this chemistry. And then when somebody dies, we no longer have them. Or even if we lose somebody in a relationship, a divorce or something like that, there is this break. And so if you can imagine someone who is addicted to a drug and then they're taken away from it, you go through withdrawal, right? And you can imagine this person from like drugs going through this really tough withdrawal, like they don't have their substance, they don't have their fix, and their whole body and mind is in this sense of loss and you know, there's all the physical pain and anguish and things that go along with it. Well, when we grieve, the same thing happens. And, you know, we would never trust a person who's coming off of some kind of a drug, you know, and really believe every word that's coming out of their mouth and, you know, try to have conversations with them. You know, we'd have compassion for them. Well, what we don't know is people that are grieving are going through something very, very similar. And so we actually lose part of our memory, you know, part of our perception. Things that we think are real may not be real when we're grieving. And it was like I said, the light bulb went off. And I'm like, no wonder I'm fighting with my siblings about things that haven't even happened. But like in my world, they did happen. In their world, something else happened. So, you know, so bottom line is I broke open this whole world of what's going on in our brain. And I started having compassion for myself, for them. And it started saying, well, no wonder so many families fight. And, you know, no wonder this goes on. And so just me being me, I decided to take all the information that I had about grief. And I recorded this audio called How to Survive Grief. And you can still listen to it, survivegrief.com. You can just go there and play. And it was everything I learned about the brain chemistry, about how to get through grief, you know, things we can do to make ourselves feel better, you know, what is grief, that whole world. And Sam, at the time, it was just prior or just after Dad's passing, I had, I don't know, a couple hundred Facebook friends. And I just said, guys, you know, I recorded this. If you know anybody who's grieving, I think this really might make a difference. Well, I didn't anticipate this, but within 3 months of me putting it on Facebook, it had been shared over 3,000 times. And yeah, I know. And I started getting emails from people all over the world saying not only did it help ease their pain and gave them understanding and compassion, but Sam, people started writing me that they chose not to kill themselves because it was like I was in their head knowing exactly what they were thinking. And they said, you know, if what I'm thinking is what you're saying, this must be the grieving process. So they chose not to commit suicide, and they chose to take my steps that are in this audio. And Sam, you get enough people that say they chose not to commit suicide, and suddenly I woke up with this moral responsibility that I need to get these words out to as many people as I can. And I thought, how am I going to do that, right? Because people aren't looking for grief books. Most people aren't. And gosh, it hit me. And I didn't want to do this, but I thought, Sandra, if you could write a book and title it We Don't Die, you know, it would piss a lot of people off because people are like, well, of course we die, right? But it would get people to read and open the book. And so basically, my book is definitely my journey of why I believe in the afterlife. But that audio about grief, that is now chapter 10 of the book. Because like it or not, people, everybody's going to experience loss. And, you know, I wanted to get to people. I wanted to get to everybody, you know, and so I included that. And then the rest of the book is, you know, if we don't die, how to have a powerful life while we're here on Earth. And so, yeah, I mean, I never thought I was an author. I thought only smart people could write books, and I didn't think I had what it takes. But, you know, spirit works in wonderful ways because, boom, in my path, all of a sudden I meet a publisher, you know, who I had the courage to tell my story. And the more I started telling my story, the more this fear of people thinking I'm one of these woo-woo weirdos, you know, went away. And so now 4 years later, the book's out. I've got over 3,000 listeners a day of my podcast. And, you know, I couldn't crawl back under my turtle shell and hide from this because, you know, it's actually giving me life. And, you know, like I said, I do think kind of dad was in on it. My siblings were in on it, that every condition that happened had to happen the way it did for where I am now and for the numbers of people that I'm impacting. So I only have compassion and gratitude for dad, for myself, for my siblings. And, you know, and I do have hope and faith. This is, you know, everything's, we're going to live happily ever after, you know, we will, this will all turn out. But, you know, anybody who's listening, you know, when we really suffer, I think personally, that's how we learn the most about who we are. And, you know, it's those things that actually, when we look back on them several years in the future, we can look back, you know, it's the time we see that there's really, you know, we had growth for our soul, and which I think is the purpose of us being here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I had the absolute pleasure to meet two of your faithful listeners, Carol Pollack. I'm giving a big shout out because she connected with me after I was on your show. And she just said, you know, I really want to meet you. And I listen to Sandra every day.
Oh,
so
thanks, Carol.
I will be visiting her where she lives. And I said, well, strange as it may be, I actually am coming to your town. You know, if you'd like to, I'd be happy to do group reading. And so she has brought one of your other listeners as well. And they were
nice.
And you really are making that impact for people. And that is such a beautiful gift. And I love how you bridge the whole woo-woo side that we love with that scientific piece, that answering of the whys. And because that really is going to speak to all the people who, you know, think we are a little weird, don't understand. And also, I love how you didn't think you were mediumistic and were able to just embrace that activity with Doreen. And the reason I love it so much is because I hear from people frequently, I'm not a medium, I'm psychic, or, oh, I just read tarot cards. And the reality is that we all have the ability to connect with our higher self. We all have the ability to connect with spirit. It's just to what degree we're able to let that into our lives. So I love that you were open and you played, because playing is the best way to really bridge the similarities rather than alienating the differences.
Yeah, if you can be okay with being wrong, you can be right, you know, and it's still hard. I've taken a couple of courses of mediumship, and you know, I've had so many people say, oh, you can practice on me. You know, my husband just died. And I thought, oh, I mean, I'd love to, but I don't want to, because it's, you know, in my mind, it's, I really want to help someone. And when I put the pressure on and the fear shows up, that's not a way to effectively be a medium.
I mean, no pressure. It's just my husband, who I love dearly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that it would be good for me to practice. You know, I feel like a little kid learning to play the piano. You know, anybody can learn to play the piano, but there's certain people that have more of a gift, right? Or more of a ability, you know, some of these prodigies and things like that. So I know even with mediumship, we're all souls having a human experience, right? And so it's easier for us to manifest and in the next world, the hereafter, right? But we got to remember, part of us still is that soul now, so we do have it. But you know, are we committed enough to practice the piano every day? You know, for what it takes. And so, if people are interested in mediumship, I mean, it's in there. But you gotta do what it takes, and it's like anything else, you know, practice and make a commitment to it, and you know, and all those things. So I feel personally that I'm on a great road now, because I get to talk to so many great people, and you know, I still dabble in taking different courses. Like I met you last year with Tony Stockwell, which is awesome. So I know that I share everything that I get, and I do know too that, you know, part of being human is to be courageous and work through our fears. And yeah, I still have my fears, you know, but it's my personal journey, and I keep stepping forward when I can. And, you know, we do the best we can as humans. We do.
Absolutely. And, you know, that fear does play a role. You know, it helps, you know, keep us safe in some circumstances. It's just when that fear gets out of hand and it's preventing us from living, that's when we need to take that deep breath. And I love how you handled it as far as educating yourself and learning as much as you can, because when we understand how something works, then we understand, have compassion as opposed to creating fear. So I really love that strategy, and I encourage it with anyone listening, regarding anything that you're afraid of. Try to learn more about it. It's just like having, you know, when you're way back, imagine when you're in elementary school, and there's that child that you believe doesn't like you, you know? And the best way to fix that is to have them over to play for an afternoon. Guaranteed you'll be long friends after that, you know?
Yeah,
so just make friends with whatever it is we're fearful of, and it definitely goes a long way. And, you know, I know for me that fear of dying actually started when I was about 7 or 8. I can remember getting messages from my great grandmother, who had not passed yet, but she'd gotten ill, and it really made me fearful. And so I can remember when I was probably about 10, I couldn't sleep, and there were many nights I wasn't sleeping, and I just was sobbing. And my mom said, "What is wrong? Like, what can I do?" And I just said, "I'm so scared." And she said, "Well, you're not going anywhere. You're 10. You don't have to be afraid of this right now." And I said, I won't know exactly how to plan for this. I won't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so she said to me, "Well, I'll make you a deal. Chances are I'm going to go first. So I'm going to come back and visit you and tell you exactly what to expect so that you can plan for it. Because I know when you plan, you feel better."
Oh.
And I was like, okay, like that totally made sense to me. But definitely that fear can really, it can impact sleep, it can impact your relationships, it can impact so many different things. So I love that you went out there and put yourself out there to play and to learn and to grow. And then ultimately, you're saving lives, Sandra, with your podcast, and you're reaching so many people. I just love it.
Yeah, and I want to just do a little shout out, because I started a Facebook group. And anybody who wants to join, really easy, if you're on Facebook, in the search, just type in "We Don't Die Listeners." And Sam, the reason I did this is because I know in my life, I have my aunt, who I love dearly, and she's interested in my story. She loves hearing about it. Besides her, I don't have anybody that I see and know, really. A couple people that in my day job that are yeah, interested. They listen to the show, but nobody really close that I can talk to about this. And I thought, boy, I need some people that I can just be free to talk to about this. Cause you know, most of us, you know, we're interested in this, but there is that fear. What are people going to think? You know, I had this great conversation with a lady, and she was petrified that the people in her life would find out she's turning into one of these, you know, new age people, right? So not that we are, but there needs to be a place where we can just be free to talk. So I thought, well, what the heck? I'll figure out how to do one of these Facebook groups. And so it's only been up and running the last 2 weeks, and there's like 361 members right now. And just continuing to grow. And like a shout out to everybody in the group, because we are free to share. We're free to say, okay, this is something I'm struggling with right now. We're free to say, I had this miracle show up, you know, we're free to share some pictures of like crazy, wonderful things. And even lots of humor. We're free to share our grief and to just have people that have been there before, be there for us. And so, you know, I've got this vision that, you know, the group's going to grow, and then I'm going to find out what areas people live in. And I would love to go, you know, meet people and, you know, okay, there's a group from Norway. Well, let's go to Norway, you know, let's see, you know, because I think in people's communities, if we can meet, not just on the internet, which is great, but actually start having some friends that we speak the same language. I'm a firm believer that when we believe in life after death, it gives a new meaning to our life. You know, we start thinking our life is for a reason, a purpose. We start feeling like we're at the steering wheel of our life. You know, we're no longer a victim. We start thinking, well, maybe, you know, we planned for some of these things to happen, for our soul to grow. And I think if we have enough friends, or we have a community that's talking the same talk, that we can be inspired to live a better life. So, you know, ultimately, I want to see all of us, you know, have people in our lives and in our communities. And when we're up to the same thing, you know, it's just like going out for a walk for exercising. It's so much easier when you have a friend that's willing to go along the walk with you. It gets you out of bed. It gets you out and you have more success being on your diet or exercising when somebody else is doing it with you. You know, it's the same thing when we're working in this world of the afterlife and what life's about. You know, when you have a friend that's starting to take chances and being courageous, stepping into their dreams, it's like, well, if they're doing it, I want a little of that too. You know, so I really think that the possibility of people living great lives when we're here. And, you know, there's I've talked to a doctor, a heart surgeon, who said he's done so many surgeries, and just before people get put out, you know, with anesthesia, there's such a fear of dying. I mean, just incredibly high fear. And then people are, you know, there's things that they haven't done and they haven't said, and whether or not they were religious, they start to pray. And I thought, you know, what would it be like for people when we are approaching that last breath, that instead of having these regrets and these fears, there's actually, we can look back on our life and say, you know what, I played full out. You know, there's always going to be things we maybe should have done or said or all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, you know, you really look back and go, yeah, you know what, I got my money's worth out of this life. I did what I wanted to do. I'm proud of myself. And then to take that last breath and to know that you're going to close your eyes this final time here on earth, but then you're just going to open them back up again in this place where your relatives are. It's another beautiful reality, and you're going to know you can come back and visit our, you know, loved ones here. And I thought, you know, if I can lend a hand in making that kind of life available to people, count me in, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, you're always welcome to come to Niagara Falls, Sandra. You can come to Grounded Roots anytime.
Thanks.
We have a little We Don't Die party.
Yeah.
We've got the space to do that there for sure.
But
definitely, I understand what you're saying. You know, I love the idea of the private Facebook group. They make a big difference because people feel safe to share.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so important. We need to be sharing. I'm so lucky that I live in Niagara Falls here, because In most communities I've lived in, and I've lived in quite a few, people tease us that we've been gypsies. We've moved quite a bit. But a lot of times I didn't feel supported, that I had a spiritual network that I could connect with. And, of course, working in child welfare, it's not something I could discuss at work. So I was pretty isolated. But I found here, because we have this lovely soul here, her name's Kathy Upper, and she created Spiritual Niagara. So first, it's a website that's a directory for anyone who does reading, healing, anything like that. But she also created a Facebook page, much like what you've done. And I think it has something like 1,700 members on it or something like that, of all people who live in the area. So people can just go on there and say, hey, this is happening. Does someone know of somebody who can help me? And there's so much help. And, you know, it really makes a big difference. So people can actually, you know, walk on our streets and talk to people and not feel like they're totally weird, because they know that they've got 1,700 friends.
Yeah, and you know something, Sam, as human beings, we have this need to be liked. And, you know, we all have this little voice in our head that very often does not say empowering things. You know, I wake up in the morning and I look at myself and it's like, oh, God, you know. Whatever it is, you know, I'm 51 years old right now and I'm single, right? So that little voice says, you're always going to be single. You're all going to be old spinster, Sandra. Nobody's ever going to love you. You know, it tells me I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm too heavy, you know, so many things, right? So we all have this negative voice that is not our champion. So it has us be afraid. It has us say we can't possibly share what we're passionate about with other people are going to think you're strange. Now, the thing is I was so afraid for people to know that I've written this book. And, you know, my day job, you may not know this, I think you do, is I'm a chef and I travel with race car teams. Mm-hmm. So I feed hundreds and hundreds of people. My mom and I have this business together. We have a big tent set up. People come and have their breakfast.
It's the coolest job ever, just so you know.
Yeah, it's cool, but it can be 16 to 18 hour days on my feet, schlepping, you know, 150 pounds of chicken. You know, not so glamorous. Well, I shouldn't mention the chicken when that rooster's outside. Anyways, but I hadn't told my community at the racetrack what I was up to. Well, one of the race car drivers' fathers owns a printing company, and he loved my book. So he shows up at the racetrack with this 8-foot banner, one of these standing banners, 8-foot by 4-foot. Is there any proof of life after death? Sandra Champlain says yes. Well, he shows up at one of my busiest races with, like, you know, 1,000 people eating under the tent with this huge sign. And I thought, oh, my God, talk about fear. I thought, people are going to think I'm crazy. And what's a life after death sign doing under a food tent? And he says, you know, you can sign your books by this, you know, sign. And I thought, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Fear was at maximum. Well, I didn't expect what happened. Not only did people come up to me and say, I love this kind of stuff. Oh, my God, tell me about your book. I want to buy a copy. Can you sign a copy for me? But I had people that had lost a loved one. One guy, his child had died when the child was 5 years old, and discreetly he came into the kitchen and said, you know, is there proof that he went on? You know, so people would start sharing these stories. I even had a race car driver who had never told anybody he had a near-death experience and told me the most magnificent story. You know, he died on an operating table after having a bad car wreck, and his grandmother and grandfather were there to greet him in heaven, and he said, in a world so much more real than Earth. And he said, made living on Earth seem like just a dream. But he said he knew that he had a choice whether he wanted to go back to life or continue on. Either way, he'd be okay. But he saw his mom and dad and brother praying for him in the waiting room. And he knew the right thing was to go back to Earth. And so he woke up in his body. Of course, he was in a ton of pain because he had, you know, broken bones and whatnot. But he said, because of that experience, he says, I wasn't afraid of death. So I wasn't afraid of life. And he said, so I wasn't afraid of driving that race car faster than anybody. I put my foot on that pedal all the way. And so what happened was, this man started winning all the championships because he had this near-death experience that took away his fear of life. So not that people need to drive 200 miles an hour, no, but, you know, to take away the fear of dying and, you know, you can't ever really get hurt. So like play full out, go after your dreams, you know, all those kind of things. But I found that everybody, not everybody, but most people were into this, but they've been too afraid to talk about it because everybody's afraid people think they're weird. So
wow.
People in your life that you haven't mentioned it to, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, I've been listening to this, you know, show with Sam Black, or I listened to this is a book called We Don't Die. What do you think about that? You know, if you even just throw out a little bait and see how they respond. And then, you know, that can open up the conversation because there's people in your life that I think everybody's had some freaky experiences knowing that the phone's going to ring and then knowing who's on the other end or, you know, thinking the same thoughts, with another person at the same exact time. I mean, we've had these things happen. So to be able to give voice to them and share, gosh, it's so great. So, you know, but we've got to remember, we all have that little, somebody called it your inner critic or negative Nancy. I've heard it say that way, or I call it the voice, you know, that tries to convince us that people will think we're crazy, you know, that we're not smart enough, we're not good enough, nobody will listen, you know, but that voice is not telling the truth.
And
yes.
You know what's so interesting? When I worked in child welfare, certainly, I mean, it's right on the psychological test. Do you believe in ghosts and things like that? So it wasn't something I was open to talking about, right?
Right.
And I would have maybe, you know, one or two friends at work who would know that was it. And what's so interesting is I didn't share that huge part of my soul with my colleagues, with the people I was working closest with, because I was fearful that they wouldn't take me seriously in the job. And yet now that, you know, I'm doing this as my career, I have different workers. Some I've worked with, some I haven't. Managers from different agencies across the province. I even had one in Calgary call me on cold files for their work because they said, I heard that you can help me.
Wow.
So this big thing that I tried to hide so well,
no.
And now that it's wide open and I don't hide it from anybody, isn't it interesting who comes forward wanting some help and wanting readings. It's just the coolest thing. So if you're listening and you're hiding, come on out of that closet. Join us because, you know,
yeah,
our community is a lot bigger than you imagine.
Yeah, I think it's actually most people are interested. Everybody's going to lose a loved one if you haven't already. And don't we want to know that they're okay and that we're going to see them again? Everybody's going to experience grief. At some point in everybody's life, I think we all ask the question, you know, is this all there is? What is my life for? Do I have a purpose? And it's all that kind of stuff that it's like, yeah, let's talk about it. You know, I don't just talk about life after death on the show, on my We Don't Die podcast. It's like, yeah, we want to find out why people believe in life after death. But then we want to talk about living life powerfully. And if you don't finish one of the episodes feeling on top of the world about you and your life, then, you know, I haven't done my job, you know, so
yeah.
It can be kind of addicted to listen to these, but, you know, we think, you know, and I knew, gosh, I know the skeptic in me, even when I started, like take something like near-death experiences, for instance, you know, my skeptical brain would say, oh, that's just part of the brain shutting down. People see a white light, might hear music. There's no proof, right? Well, who was talking? Well, that was a young woman who never took the time to do any research. You know, there's millions of people that have had near-death experiences. And somebody who I just interviewed had a great, she says, you know, in a court of law, right, and there's a jury, if there's one person that has a story and everybody else has a different story, well, you don't know if that's real. You got 5 million people all saying the same thing. Now, is there absolute proof, evidence? Well, no, you know, but you got 5 million people saying the same thing. I tend to think something's real, you know. And so I've gotten the honor to break down my own skepticism in so many of these and actually take the time to learn, you know, I don't know why I've always thought that I knew all the answers. I mean, that's silly. It's like a little kid thinking that they're smarter than their parents, right? You know, I've lived my life like that. And it's like, no, the research is out. I mean, it's not just near-death experiences that I talk about on the show and with mediums and things like reincarnation. People know there's actually artists out there that can draw images, perfect pictures of your loved one in the hereafter. I mean, that's huge. You know, I talked to a great guy who is a physicist and marine engineer and really a sharp guy who knows all the things about the quantum physics. And then he's now a medium, right? So he's like, I want to learn these kind of things, you know? So, I mean, it's not just your woo-woo out there people. You know, I've talked to a doctor who created a book collecting 20 stories, interviewing other doctors about the miraculous things they've witnessed. I mean, there's actually development underway for something called the soul phone, which in the next 5 to 10 years, they think will work something like your cell phone, that your loved ones in the hereafter can be in touch with you. I mean, and as much as that this might sound like something futuristic, I mean, there are people recording electronic voice phenomena right now, voices coming through. There's people that record video and pictures of their loved ones come through. There's a woman in Brazil, Sonia Rinaldi, who has recorded thousands of messages of children speaking to their parents from the afterlife using what she calls the Brazilian Station, which is a group of scientists in the hereafter working with her to make this available. There's mediums that are kind of downloading information from the spirit world of like what kind of technology like these machines need to be. And these mediums get together, and of course they all have the same drawing, and you know, and so there's scientists, this is being funded by some great people interested in it. So like there's stuff happening, you know, this is not just the far out new agers, woo-woo people talking about life after death. You know, I love talking to people that are from the scientific community that are involved, the doctors, the scientists, the physicists, you know, because, you know, you think, yeah, these people are pretty reputable. You know, they're talking about these things with life after death. They could be true. And Sam, you and I both know that you don't have to see it to believe it. I mean, we're all grateful that we have GPSs that can connect us and we can drive our car from point A to point B. Well, the GPS signal is invisible, but it's very real. Thing with I'm talking to you right now through the magic of the internet. We are not connected by any wires, but yet through this magical invisible place, we're able to connect. And I tell you, I'm looking at my iPhone right now that can pick up pictures and sound and information from the cloud, wherever the heck that is. Well, we're pretty powerful, us souls having a human experience. And, you know, we can download information as well from the hereafter. I really believe that heaven is in this invisible place, vibrating energy, you know, no different than, you know, where our GPS signals and cell phone signals and the wireless internet is. You know, it's cool to be in this investigation.
It so is. And, you know, I love how you look at the science end of it, because for those of us who are skeptical or people who just are not as familiar with their spiritual self, because in some families they haven't been raised even with, you know, a faith practice. So for them,
right,
it's really hard for them to wrap their head around this whole idea of trust or, you know, belief. And so the guests that you have on your show totally dispel all that. And they just say, hey, like, I'm coming from a scientific background and I know this to be true. And that's really impactful for people who have some doubts.
Yeah, there's one guy I spoke to, Dr. Alan Huguenot is his name. And he's the guy, the physicist turned medium. And he lost me in a lot of the conversation because he's so smart. But we were talking about like quantum physics, and I'm looking at a table right now in front of me, a coffee table. And he was saying, you know, that within every molecule and atoms and all that world, you know, so everything can be broken down into fine particles. The illusion is everything, because if you took a teeny tiny camera, one of the atoms, in anything that we're looking at would pick up anything. Like, there's no such thing as matter. You know, everything that we are and everything we're looking at, broken down into the tiniest particle, there, it's just vibrating waves of energy. You know, so it's like, oh, so, you know, he's talking about everything that we're experiencing is kind of an illusion, you know, very good one to convince us that, you know, we are substances and we are, you know, people of this planet. Mind blowing to think of.
Cutting out a little bit there.
Inner space. Say it again.
I said you're cutting out a little bit there.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No
but
worries.
Basically, to our tiniest molecules, you know, that we're just vibrating energy. You know, the illusion is that we are matter, that we're real, and, you know, that life is an illusion. So he really offered just this, gosh, you know, we're, you know, this invisible world outside of us, you know, is it possible? But when he gets down to the cellular and the molecular and the atom level, you know, that it's everything's invisible there too. So he gives a where the afterlife is and how it all fits into science. Amazing.
It is amazing. It is. Sandra, what are some of the common themes that you hear often on your show? Having that many guests, you know, you've been able to collect your own data, I'm sure. So what are some of the common themes that you hear over and over again?
One of the great ones is that when we do die, our bodies die anyways, there is a life review and no judging us. No one's saying heaven for you, hell for you. And that way, it's that we each individually look back upon our lives and we actually experience it from the points of view of people we interact with. So if we hurt someone, we're going to feel their pain. If we did a good deed, we're going to feel their happiness and see the ripple effect and what that did, you know, for others. And then we get to assess how well we did in this lifetime and that we continue to learn and grow in the hereafter. And I think that's great. Gives me, you know, there's times that I'm human and every so often I think about maybe telling a white lie, but then I think, gosh, if I have to go through this again in my life review, better to just tell the truth now. You know, so that's a common theme. There's a common theme that, you know, we talk about what is the purpose for life, and life is based on experiences and the experiences we have on planet Earth, because we have time and space and we have bodies and matter and we have all these emotions and senses of touch and smell and taste and hearing and all that stuff. There's such a reality to hear that there's no place in the universe like it. So when we come to Earth, we get to have all these experiences, and the point is for growth of our soul. And so, yeah, most times, you know, what I hear is that it's out of our, you know, worst suffering where we actually experience the most growth for our soul. But we're here to really experience, you know, and I love that. And I love also hearing that our loved ones are around us. We don't have to be a medium to get in touch with them. We can actively look into an empty space. I can look at an empty seat on my couch right now and visualize my grandmother there and talk to her. And yeah, do I know she's talking back? You know, can I quiet my mind and trust that she's there? Yeah, we can do that. We can ask for signs and have them show up. You know, so that's a great thing. And just to know, bottom line, that we are not alone, that our life is for a reason, that we can never fail. Life is this learning place, you know, and basically I think it's that we're never alone. Our lives matter. We are souls having a human experience. There's so much more to us than meets the eye. You know, we are capable of, whether it's one of these psychic things or miracles showing up, you know, that we are really these powerful infinite beings.
Oh, thank you for sharing. And you know, it's so true. And anyone listening, every single one of you is here for a purpose. And you know, without you, we don't have the same experience. Like, well, nobody's here by accident. And
no.
I totally have to agree. It is those biggest challenges in our lives, that's where we receive the most growth. And, you know, I can say that firsthand too. Like, the most difficult thing I've ever been through really is recovering with the brain injury and everything from the accident I was in. And certainly recovery is still ongoing, but I've received the most growth from that experience. And it's just
yes.
incredible. The opportunities that come to us when we just surrender and let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, have fun. Play on this playground of earth.
Yeah, and you're not alone. There's plenty of playmates around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give your listeners a gift too, Sam, if I may. My website, which you can access all these podcasts, if you go to wedontdieradio.com, that's the best place to start. But there's a little line that says, click here to join the Insiders Club. And what it is yes, you give me your name. I promise I don't send lots of emails. I don't. But what you will open up is, it says, read a free chapter of my book. Well, Sam, it's actually the whole book, because I know in an interview like this, I can't give enough details as to why I believe in life after death. But also that audio, How to Survive Grief, is there. And there's a bunch of other things, because I really am passionate about giving away and putting in the hands of people this important information. Do I want to sell books? Sure, I do. But, you know, if you like the PDF copy, maybe you'll give a gift at Christmas. Who knows? But that's, I don't care about that. It's not money-based. But that, just as a gift to your listeners, go to wedontdieradio.com, click on Insiders Club. And then also, you know, feel free to click on any one of the 182 episodes. You can scroll down pretty fast and see, you know, what catches your eye. Maybe you want to know more about near-death experience, or you want to check out Dr. Alan Huguenot and the science of things, or whatever that may be. But it's all there. And join our Facebook group.
There's definitely an episode for everyone, regardless of what you believe, where you're coming from. I promise you there will be a guest that will just ignite your curiosity. I promise. Just check it out.
Yeah. And then ultimately, after listening for an hour, you're going to, this is my intent anyways, that you actually get special you are, and that your life is for a purpose. And it doesn't have to be a big purpose. So many people are coming to me like, what's my life purpose? Well, it's what you're already doing, you know, and it might not be a job, but it might be, you know, you always like to make a difference in other people's lives, you know, and so it can be in many different ways, your purpose, you know, it can be tending to the earth, it can be growing things, whatever, you know, but just look to see what you're already doing.
Absolutely.
Your purpose.
Yeah, and, you know, actually, a lot of my coaching clients, that's what they come to me for. What is my life purpose? And the reality is that we all have something that we can contribute to ourselves and others, regardless
yes.
of your level of ability, regardless of your age, your race, who you are, where you come from. We all have something to offer. And we live in a world that focuses on what we can't do. That's just, unfortunately, the reality of much of our world. Shift that. Even if it's just in yourself, because it will rub off onto other people, shift that to, this is what I have to offer. We all have beautiful gifts inside.
Yeah.
So,
and even a little homework assignment is mm-hmm. if anybody wants to take the time to write down some of your accomplishments, what you already have done, and some of the things you're grateful for, you're going to go, wow. You know, it really empowers you to not listen to that little voice, to get who you really are. Is not what that little voice might say. But experience a lot, helped a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to share it, go into Sandra's Facebook group, go onto my Facebook page and just say, hey, Sam, so here's my accomplishments. You know, we want to hear those. We want to celebrate with you, because the reality is, the more that we celebrate what we've accomplished, what we have in our world, what we're grateful for, the more that's going to come in for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Sandra,
thanks,
Sam.
Thank you so much for coming today. And, you know, definitely everyone listening, I really invite you to check out We Don't Die Radio. It's fantastic. And connect with Sandra there. And, Sandra, is there any upcoming events or anything that you'd like to share?
I don't have anything upcoming. Oh, yes, I do. How did I forget? Oh my gosh. You know why? Because I was on the radio at 2 a.m.
Yes,
a show. I will be speaking at a huge afterlife conference in September. It's September 15th through 17th. It's called the Afterlife Research and Education Symposium. And you can find out more. Oh, this is Scottsdale, Arizona. If you go to afterlifestudies.org to find out more, but it's these cutting edge people that are involved in communication with the afterlife, proof of the afterlife, things about living life, but it's the top doctors, scientists, lay people, there'll be 27 or so speakers. So it's a really big deal. If you want proof of the afterlife, you want to know how to connect with your loved one, you want to be empowered for your life, it's the place to be. Scottsdale, Arizona, September 15th through 17th, 2017. Go to afterlifestudies.org to find out more. Or even if you can't go, just to check out some of the people that are doing some wild stuff in the world. So thank you for encouraging me to share that and remembering that I am doing something.
I think it's an amazing event, and I love the fact that there's going to be a conference all about this, because it's so needed for people to get out there and learn and network and grow. And, certainly it's in a beautiful location that, although I haven't been yet, I keep being called to go, and I'm told it's a wonderful, wonderful area for spiritual growth.
Yeah, and we're going to meet some of the best friends we'll ever have. I think there's probably about 300 of the listeners of my show that are going to meet there in person. And on the Thursday night, on the 14th, I've invited everybody to meet in the lobby of the Embassy Suites when they have their happy hour, because I just want to say hello personally and meet everybody. And, I'm excited to meet new friends.
Oh, that's wonderful. Sandra, thank you again.
You're welcome.
I know our meeting was so brief, but I'll never forget it.
Me neither.
And I'm so glad that we've been able to stay in touch. And certainly, that invitation is wide open. Anytime you want to come to Niagara and share We Don't Die, you are more than welcome. Grounded Roots is your home.
Thank you so much. It'll happen.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, everybody. I hope you're having an absolutely beautiful day. The sun's shining. It's shining for you, and I can't wait to connect with you all again soon on Grounded Roots with Sam Black. Have an absolutely beautiful day.